Fire on the Snow by Barbara Cartland and read by Sophie Roberts for Saga Egmont. Author's Note: The Statute for the Emancipation of the Serfs was signed by Tsar Alexander II in 1861, a year later than the time this story takes place. The main characters are fictitious, but the background comes from the reports of eyewitnesses. The cruelty, the military punishments, the fear of the secret police, and the lighted gardens inside the palaces are all accurate. The Tsar's aunt, the Grand Duchess Hélène, did suggest the idea of emancipation to her nephew and the way it might be achieved. The Mikhailov Palace is now the Russian National Museum. I dedicate this story to Princess Nina Midivani, who has always been my good angel and who made me realize how intelligent, delightful, and friendly the Georgian people are. Chapter 1, 1860.
Elida!
The sharp voice was startling. Then there was the slap of a closed fan on a bent neck, which brought Elida to her feet with a little cry. Deep in her book, she had not heard her aunt enter the bedroom.
"Wasting your time, as usual," the Duchess said harshly, in her hard, ugly voice. "If you have nothing to do, Elida, I will find you something. I have told you over and over again that I will not have you reading and filling your head with a lot of nonsense."
"I am sorry, Aunt Sophie."
"So you should be," the Duchess retorted. "This is deliberate disobedience on your part, as you well know. Where did you find this book?"
There was a moment's silence before Elida said hesitantly, "From the library." The fan slapped her again, this time on her cheek. She took a step back, her small fingers creeping up to the burning mark.
"How often have I told you," the Duchess stormed, "not to take books from the library? They belong to your uncle, and they are not suitable for a young girl."
She saw the answer in Elida's eyes, and before she could speak, the Duchess continued,
"I know that your father allowed you to read any of his books, but must I repeat, for the thousandth time, that I do not consider that either he or your mother had any sense of responsibility, nor were they proper guardians for the morals of a young female."
The Duchess accentuated the word morals, and then, with an unpleasant twist of her thin lips, she added,
"That is, of course, hardly surprising, seeing in what profession your mother was engaged."
Elida clenched her hands together. She knew what was coming. She had heard it all too often before. At the same time, it never ceased to disturb her, to make her yearn to spring to her mother's defense and to deny the cruel things that were said about her.
"How indeed," the Duchess continued, "could a creature who lowered herself to appear on the stage know anything about propriety? A woman whom anyone could pay to watch, a woman who had none of the modesty and delicacy that should be an indivisible part of the feminine character."
"I must not answer back, I must not," Elida whispered to herself. She knew only too well what would happen if she did. When she had first come to live with her uncle and aunt 2 years after her parents' death, she had not believed it possible that anyone could utter such cruelly defamatory accusations against her mother. But she had learned through bitter experience that to argue, or even reply, brought swift retribution in the shape of her uncle's whip. After 2 years of living in the castle, Elida had acquired a self-control that gave her some small satisfaction because she knew that it surprised her relatives. Nevertheless, it was always hard to hear her sweet and gentle mother abused and know herself too cowardly to go on fighting a losing battle.
"Books are for men," the Duchess was saying. "Women should sew, and a girl in your position, Elida, should make herself useful."
"I have tried to do that, Aunt Sophie."
"And so you should," the Duchess said. "You are a pauper. Do you hear me, Elida? A pauper. You live on the benevolence of your uncle, and the least you can do to show your gratitude is to help me to the best of your ability, which unfortunately is lamentably ineffective."